just off that village council meeting, the order, please stand for the pledge and the prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us the privilege to meet tonight. We ask for your blessing, wisdom, and guidance as we conduct the business of the village. Amen.
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 Roll call.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes. Okay, you've all been previously provided with copies of the council meeting, the regular council meeting of March 9th, 2020. If there are no corrections to those minutes, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion approved.
March 9th.
Second. Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Okay, next you also should have the minutes from the special meeting on March 14th, 2020. If there are no corrections to those minutes, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Okay, under correspondence, I don't have a whole lot of correspondence, three pieces. We received a mailing from the Ohio EPA with a reminder of our consumer confidence report being due, I believe it's in June or July, July 1. And that has been passed on to the operator of record as well as the village administrator to take care of. Received a flyer on dealing with difficult people. And then we received an email from the Ohio Mideastern Governments Association talking about the U.S. Small Business Administration qualified state of Ohio for economic injury disaster loan program as a result of the COVID-19 virus. This publication, which you all have a copy of, they did ask that we get this out to all the small businesses in the community. So I believe it was last Friday, the village street department had copies of these, and they went door to door to every business in the village so to make sure that they had copies of that. Okay, I don't see any citizens or anyone on the conference line. So I'm going to leave it muted at this time. So just as a reminder, as we do these, there will be a dial-in number for anyone who, of you especially, that are unable to attend because of illness or other. You can call in on this conference line and be able to participate under the current rules. There's some legislation pending, potentially Ohio Congress is supposed to be meeting tomorrow and Thursday, and this is one of the things on their docket as to how we can, in the future, do these meetings. On the temporary side, they said that they can be live streamed or done by conference call, but we have to make sure that the public has the ability to, one, participate and or contribute. Thus, that's why we've set up the conference line as well as a live streaming it to Facebook. Okay, moving on to department reports. There are no specific department reports this month, but I do, under the fire report, received an email from the fire chief. I'll read it aloud. You all have been presented with a copy of this. As of April 1st, 2020, I am stepping down as fire chief. I am recommending and will promote Damon Gould to fire chief with approval from mayor and council. I would like to stay on the West Lafayette Fire Department as deputy chief with the approval of mayor and council. My duties would be the same: fire prevention, fire safety, fire drills at the care centers, schools, daycare centers, factories, holding meetings with social clubs. I will continue to do fire inspections at care centers, factories, Harpkus, and job and family services, and all the buildings of our school campus. It's been a privilege and an honor to serve as fire chief of the village of West Lafayette. I will continue to provide support to this honorable organization as long as I am able. Thank you again for the opportunity to serve this community in this position. So with that said, a couple things in order that I would like to address. First is the council acceptance of the fire chief, Glenn Hill's resignation as fire chief.
I make a motion to accept chief's resignation.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Gordon Kirker?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
After reviewing the fire chief's opening and talking with both the fire chief and assistant chief Damon Gould, I do agree with the fire chief's recommendation, and subject to your approval, do hereby appoint Damon Gould as fire chief. So I need a motion to either approve or deny that.
Motion to promote Damon Gould to fire chief effective April 1st, 2020.
Second.
Gordon Kirker?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yeah.
Fortune?
Yes.
Musk?
No.
Maurer?
Yes.
Okay, that passes. And then finally, appointing Glenn Hill as deputy chief fire prevention officer.
Motion to approve Glenn Hill as, where are we going at?
Deputy chief
and fire prevention.
Second.
Cheney?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Gordon Kirker?
Yes.
Musk?
No.
Maurer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Damon, you are present here. You will take the helm as fire chief on April 1st. Do you have anything you'd like to share with this body?
Not at this time, Mayor. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Fiscal officer.
Don't really have a whole lot to report other than to say I will be working from home until things change, and I think, I don't know if it's the mayor or the village administrator that will be going through those changes in staffing and where we're going to be working for that executive order, but just to know that I will be working from home. I will be stopping in the office occasionally to pick up bills and miscellaneous things that I need. I did work on the phone system to get all phone calls that will be coming to the office for the village administrator, for the office manager, or for myself. They will be during normal office hours from 8 to 4. They will be forwarded to our home, so we will still be able to take those phone calls as needed. Other than that, the bill's been passed around for approval, and that's all I have.
Okay, under the police report, subject to the executive order that was put out yesterday as a result of the state director of the health department and the governor's order regarding stay at home, our police department's been short an officer for quite some time and working 10-hour shifts, and we've had a fair amount of uncovered time periods. As part of that executive order, which you all have, the police chief was directed to go to a 24/7 patrol effective tonight at midnight. And they'll be working 6-to-6 shifts, and so that is in place. Also, under the police department, they have been looking for a new officer and are ready to appoint this officer. And due to the directives from the director's stay-at-home order and our emergency directives here, he was advised not to attend the meeting tonight because of keeping the public out and keeping it, everything as private as it is. Both the chief has interviewed this guy. He's done ride-alongs with the chief, several of them, and I've interviewed him. And his name is Larice Manns. He is from Stark, Ohio. Stark County near Canton. He has he's passed OPATA. He has his law enforcement certificate from Stark State College. And he's been certified with the taser, OC spray, and he has had some work experience in a part-time fashion for law enforcement. And after interviewing him, at the chief's request, and this request is contingent on him passing his physical, I would like to have Larice Mann appointed as a full-time police officer, effective as soon as he, number one, passes this. We're having trouble getting him scheduled in because of all the stuff going at the hospital. We may reach out to another out-of-county location to get his physical done and get him in the uniform. So I would entertain a motion to approve the appointment of Larice Manns.
Mayor, he's moving down here then? He's planning on moving?
Well, we're hoping initially, but not right now.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we put him on board. I can't remember what the name for sure was, but I'll make a motion to do that.
Larice Manns.
Okay.
Second.
Lusk?
Yes.
Bordenkircher?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Village solicitor is not here tonight. The one thing that, amongst a lot of things that she and I have, and as well as the village administrator, all weekend long, there have been telephone conversations on a number of different topics, especially with the putting out of the executive order that you have on becomes the village administrator's time to address things. We'll get into that a little deeper. And talking about the coronavirus and its pack, and talking about the director stay-at-home order. We have a lot of discussions there. And the other thing that we had discussions both yesterday and today dealt with Ed Chaplin. As of today, he came and visited me in my office. He still does not have an estimate, nor has he received the asbestos inspection results from the company in Steubenville. And talking with Julie, right now, if we file suit right now, the courts probably aren't even going to touch it. But what we had talked about at our previous council meeting is that we would give them a deadline to have a contract, and if they don't, then we would proceed down that road as we had discussed before. So I'll open it up for discussion. I might recommend that we give him 30 days to have a contract, and if he doesn't, we can do 60 days. That's your decision. So open for comment.
What did we give him the last time? Was it 30 days?
Well, we had given him time, and they kept asking for delays because they couldn't get the estimates. They couldn't get the asbestos inspection. That has been done now. They found that there's asbestos in the building.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be getting a letter, which I never have received. And Ed has never received a letter. And we've been months, and we haven't accomplished anything. Julie suggested that we give him a deadline to have a contract, and if he doesn't meet that deadline, then we proceed.
I think we ought to give him 30 days.
No, I say April the 10th. He has a contract, and it has to be down within 20 days or 25 days or something like that after that contract. He's had enough time.
That's true.
And I also know that he sold his piece of property, so he's got lots of money now, so we can afford that
to have a deadline to have it down in 20 days, that ain't right.
Well, I'm just saying. They have a contract by April the 10th.
How about we give him until our meeting on the 13th at 7 o'clock? Then we can rule on it from there.
It would be right, if I can enter in just
Yes, please.
I like, I see it as a compromise between both you guys' idea. And it's not quite 30 days if we wait to the 13th. So it's cut him short. So he has until, I don't know that the council should trigger it. I think if we want, then we can talk at the next council meeting. But I would suggest you guys entertain the idea of giving him until, what is the date of the first council meeting? April the
13th.
So I would say the Sunday at midnight before that, that we will know, and we can talk about it in the council the following night. But I would think you guys ought to give him until Sunday at midnight to have a contract in place and signed. And then I would suggest that you guys give them 60 days of the date of that contract to have the building on the ground, completely raised, and the land restored to whatever you want to say. You want to say grass, you want to say whatever. You don't want a mud pit there either. You want to see them be nice. That,
yeah.
That's kind of what I would lean towards.
I know in meeting with the contractors, they said it will be take them 2 or 3 months to get it scheduled. But that was back early in January. So we're getting into better weather. So, I'm okay with that, whatever you guys want. If somebody wants to make a motion, if you're ready to do that.
So you'd like that idea midnight on April the 12th?
Yeah.
So that we know for our council meeting on the 13th?
Yeah, that's why I said.
That's fine. Yeah.
And with the requirement to have demolition completed within 60 days from that date, is that what we're talking?
Yep. Is that what you guys think? I mean, he's had plenty of time.
Oh, yeah,
He's had way more than plenty of time.
He's had more than enough time.
We haven't
given cautious on the 60 days just from how scheduling and everything else goes. I wonder if we shouldn't, as much as I hate making it more time, if we shouldn't say 90 days so he has 3 months.
I'm not, as long as we give him a date and get this going.
Well, under the current circumstances, are those people going to be working anyway?
That's a question. It's not, well, you could argue it deals with life safety because it is a collapse hazard, but the health department would have to rule on that. You can always go with 60 days, and if he can't make that, we've given plenty of extensions with us.
He
ought to be able to get an estimated date from his contractor of when they can have it down.
We haven't even got a report from the people that inspected to find out they had stuff.
But if he gets a contract signed with somebody, they should be able to give him an estimated date of when they're going to be able to start on it and get it done.
Yeah.
And he could give us that, and then we could say, go from there. If he says they can have it down and cleaned up in 90 days, then we could give them 90 days. As long as, because that their contract says they can have it done in 90 days, they should be able to do what they say. But we can talk about that then once at the first meeting.
That's a great point. I would suggest that you guys entertain a motion of having a contract by midnight of the Sunday of the 12th.
And they should be able to give him a date of when they're going to be able to start and have it done.
As part of that contract, there will be a time frame of demolition not to exceed 90 days.
Yeah.
Do you make that a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
So the motion is that he has until midnight on April 12th to have a contract. That contract will state a date of demolition not to exceed 90 days, correct?
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Amy, call the roll.
Cheney.
Yes.
Gordon-Kirger.
Yes.
Musk.
Yes.
Bauer.
Yes.
Fortune.
Yes.
Wheeler.
Yep.
I will advise the solicitor of the same. All right, as we get ready to go to the village administrator, just a couple of precursors. Last week was a very, very busy week. We had a ton of stuff going on. You and all had approved the emergency action plan at our special meeting. Since then, we have attended as a group a seminar for public employees, summary of dealing with, I guess it's House Bill 6201, dealing with the Family First Coronavirus Response Act, deals with FMLA. At this point, I don't think we'll spend a whole lot of time on it. At this point, I don't think we have much exposure. We have attended and listened to the governor's daily briefings ever since last week when they started, Saturday and Sunday. Yesterday, the director issued a stay-at-home order. You all have copies of this. I would suggest you read it and become somewhat familiar with it if anyone asks you about it. As far as enforcement of this order, it has been held down to municipalities and their police departments and the county health or city health boards to administer any penalties, but they haven't said what those penalties would be. I imagine this will be somewhat difficult to enforce, but we shouldn't have to enforce it. People need to take this dead seriously. This is incredibly important, and if they don't flatten the curve, if you've been watching what's going on in New York City, they're saying that's going to be the next Italy. The death rate is skyrocketing, and there's a lot of people sitting in this room are prime candidates that it could have very adverse effects on. So this is important. We've instituted by executive order after consulting with the village administrator and our solicitor yesterday. You've all been given copies of that. You've been get copies of the stay at home order. And as part of the village administrator's information he'll provide, I'm gonna ask him to cover his portion of the executive order that was put out, and we'll go from there. So, Chris, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. We'll start with the updated emergency action plan. I always put a revision date, so this is revised as of today. It takes into account the stay-at-home order from the Ohio Department of Health, as well as the executive order released by Mayor Bordenkircher yesterday. The things that I want to draw your attention to as far as changes, so you don't have to sit through and remember, under internal operations, number two is new. That is directly cut and pasted from the mayor's executive order. So I'll let you read that, but the bottom line is we are 100% locked down. And just like after tonight, first thing in the morning, this room will be sanitized using the bleach solution that has been recommended by Ohio Department of Health and the CDC. On page number two, number five, the mayor's already touched on how we're going to handle billing questions, basically what's going to happen. When you look down through the emergency action plan, it outlines Amy Medley, which is the office manager, John, Ryan down at the wastewater treatment plant, Dave Kdry at the water treatment plant, how they're going to alternate the weekends. I have cut Dave Kdry's hours back quite a bit, and my hours are, they're still going to be right where they need to be, but I will be working from home, but I'll be in the office at least once a day to help manage the Dropbox and make sure we have monies accounted for and stuff like that. So unfortunately, as part of the emergency action plan update and executive order, unfortunately, I had to, the village had to lay off one of our full-time street department employees. So I was in contact with Mr. Sean Moore yesterday and made sure he understood that he was laid off, and tomorrow he will receive a letter in the mail detailing that. Number seven is brand new. Excuse me, number six is also brand new. This really is out of my league, but this is per the mayor's executive order. The fiscal officer will work remotely from home and will be in the village administrative office only when it is mission critical. Number seven is new. The mayor is going to hold daily staff meetings. We had our first one today via conference call. Worked very well, and it will be village staff members, and he will update us, and we will communicate via conference call. We're going to try Zoom as we get a little fancier, but that's new. And then on number eight, as far as your meetings are concerned, mayor has already mentioned that he has the conference call lines of the last sentence before you get to the letters A, B, and C. That is a new sentence, but that just goes over what the mayor's already said that people can call in. And then finally, under letter C, we are going to have social distancing, proper hygiene, and sanitizing, as in outlined in section 15 of the order. And then finally, number nine, there is a change. Everybody that comes to work that actually is physically working in the building, so well, basically all of us, will take our temperatures, and I am keeping a log. If anybody asks or if anybody is concerned, that is not a violation of HIPAA. I have all that documentation, and that's all covered in the executive order, as well as the Ohio Department of Health's director's standpoint. Any questions on the change to the emergency action plan? I know I went through it fast, but I don't need to read it to you. A lot of it's cut and pasted from the mayor's executive order. Go ahead, sir.
I don't have any question, but I would like to announce that I got a phone call from Home Alone today. They're only doing business through the drive-through unless you have an appointment.
Yeah, that was on the radio. I heard that.
Yeah.
So what will happen is when Amy goes to make the deposit,
she has to make an appointment.
She'll make an appointment. Okay.
Well, if she's got all cash, she'd probably do it through the drive-thru. But if she's got the coins,
yeah,
the shoot thing won't take the coins.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing here before you move on. Also, you should have in your packets the Shawnee County General Health District screening of employees for COVID-19. Just gives us more direction.
We decided to print this out. Amy printed all of you guys out, so you guys all had a copy of this at your fingertips. In case your constituents get nervous, the mayor's already alluded to the stay-at-home order issued by Dr. Amy Acton, which, by the way, I'd like to go on record saying I think that she's doing a wonderful job. But anyhow, I'd like to highlight a couple sections for you if people call you and have questions. First of all, on page 4, number 10, essential governmental functions. The second paragraph, we are in compliance, I spoke with our village solicitor yesterday at length, and the measures that the mayor and I have put into place, we have determined who's essential and outlined them as such, so we are in compliance with that portion of the order in case somebody asks you.
Which one was that, 9?
Section 10 on page 4.
Page 4.
Okay. Second paragraph. And then flip back to page 8. Section number 15. We are doing right now what they call social distancing. We are 5 to 6 feet apart, and that's for a reason, right? So, when people ask you what social distancing is and what does it mean, you can refer to this. And remember, this is coming from the Ohio Department of Health. And then finally, section 18, business employers. Again, the mayor alluded to us attending the conference call relative to sick leave policies and FMLA and everything like that. And I can assure you that we have gone A through G and are squared away with our policies here within the village. So if anybody asks you about that, you can say we have properly addressed it. I just thought you guys would have a copy of that just in case somebody asks you a question.
Thank you.
Finally, there's two pieces of legislation this evening. I know that we decided and suggested we weren't going to do this when we started having this, but unfortunately, you know, once in a while we have to pass things by waiving the rules. So there's two pieces of legislation on the books tonight that I'm going to request for you to waive the rules on, and I'll explain them to you. The first one is Resolution 2020-22. Basically, the fiscal officer has to get turned back in by
April 24th.
Yeah, so we got to get this passed so that we can participate in the SALT program and buy SALT. Now, remember last council meeting I talked that we're going to get our second half of our SALT delivery, so we're only going to buy 10 ton next year. That's not specified in this resolution, but we're only going to buy 10 ton because we're going to be carrying over about 50 ton, 48 to 50 ton from this year since it was a pretty mild winter. So we're going to be sitting, we're not going to spend a lot of money on salt next year, but I would like you to consider waiving the rules and passing it so that Amy can meet the deadlines and making sure we get into the aggregate program. And then the second piece of ordinance I'd like to consider you waiving the rules and passing is ordinance number 2020-23. Basically what I'm asking you guys to do is we have an ordinance on the book, 2018-64, and what it deals with is how in the water department, when do we disconnect people's water and how do we accrue and how much do we accrue as far as late fees are concerned. When you read down through that ordinance, it's become a best practice by many utility companies. PUCO, Columbia Gas, AEP, and any other major utility company. There's many, many, many cities. Akron, I think, was the very first one to do this. But basically what they're doing is during the COVID-19 outbreak, they are not going to disconnect people's water. The number one way that we can prevent the spread of this disease is stay at home, but wash your hands and stay clean. And so we're not going to turn people's water off for non-compliance. However, they will get a posting and they will understand, listen, you're still due, and when this is all over, you're going to owe us money. But we're not going to shut people's water off if you pass this ordinance tonight for us. The other thing is I would like to forgo charging late fees. A lot of places, a lot of these major utility companies are suspending late fees during this also because money's going to be tight. So if people are kind enough to pay their water bill, I would rather take the money and not charge them a late fee because times are going to get tough for people. So I would ask for you to consider passing, again, we're just amending those two sections. Any questions on that? With that, that's all I have. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you. I only have one more comment that falls in line with the village administrator. Last Friday, we got a ton of rain. We got a little over 2 inches of rain early Friday morning. For those of you who don't know, the village administrator and I were out early roaming around and photographing the water. The water on the west end of the village was up to the school property. The area where we set off fireworks and all that, that was all underwater. The water was up to the school property and it was very close. It was scary close to coming into the Mills apartments again. That was just with less than 2.5 inches of rain in 3 or 4 hours. The ground is saturated, became very clear to Chris and I that if we got a 4 or 5 inch rain, we're gonna have water in the village. And there's nothing, we cannot defend ourselves because the problem is outside the village. As soon as I realized what was going on. I called the county commissioner, spoke with Dane Shyrock, and asked Dane to come up and look. He did come up, he met with Chris, and they reviewed the area, and it has got me greatly concerned, and I've instructed Chris to work with the commissioners, the Muskingum Watershed, to see what we can do to assist in getting that repaired. Because if we don't, we're looking at a repeat of what happened before, and we all know what that was like. So I'm hoping that we can work together between the county commissioners, us, the township trustees, soil and water conservation, and Muskingum Watershed to find some way for the county to get that fixed. Because if not, we are the target, and that is our only defense. So just wanted you to be aware that we do have concerns with that. And with that, we'll go to committee reports. Buildings and property.
Nothing at this time, Mayor.
Community business development.
Nothing at this time.
Community relations.
The Chamber of Commerce Council canceled their meetings, no further notice.
Okay. Finance.
Nothing tonight.
Fire Dependency Board, nothing. Ordinance.
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Park Board.
Nothing right now, sir.
Okay, under the Park Board, and considering all the stuff with the COVID, coronavirus, the COVID-19, I am not going to open the park until at least May 1st. It was scheduled for April 1st. I will not open those buildings. We cannot allow congregations of more than 10 people, not only here, but the same directive goes for water park. Until May 1st, when this is reassessed, if schools open back up, we may change that, but as we stand here today, I am not going to open those parks until May 1st. And that may be extended. If we find out that they're going to relax these standards, we may lift it sooner, but until then, they stay closed. Okay, Planning Commission.
They already canceled the meeting, so nothing's happened.
Public Safety.
Nothing at this time, Mayor.
Public Works.
Nothing at this time.
Records retention, nothing. Rules, nothing. Zoning and Building Codes.
Nothing at this time, Mayor.
Okay, Police Chief Search Committee. I'll ask the fiscal officer, have we received any applications yet?
None.
Nothing yet. Okay, so that is open until the end of this week, if I remember correctly. And so we'll keep working on that. Under ordinances, we have several ordinances to address tonight. These first two that we will address are up for their third and final reading. First is Ordinance 2020-17, an ordinance amending the Ordinance 7794, 8511, 2001-09, 2006-08, 2007-07, 2018-19, provide for maintenance of dilapidated structures of any unsanitary premises or noxious real estate, providing for eradication of nuisances, providing definitions, penalties, and providing for abatement. That was the third reading. I'll entertain a motion to approve the ordinance.
Make a motion to approve the ordinance.
Second.
Miller?
Yep.
Moss?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Ortenberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Okay, next is Resolution 2020, resolution declaring certain village property no longer needed for municipal purposes a surplus and obsolete and authorized the disposal of said surplus and obsolete property. This is for the old police cruiser. This is the third reading. I'll entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Ortenberger?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Next is resolution 2020-22. This is a resolution authorizing the participation in the ODOT road salt contracts award in 2020. This does contain the emergency clause and has been reviewed with you by the village administrator.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
Fortune?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Cheney?
Yes.
Bauer?
Yes.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Cheney?
Yes.
Bauer?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
And finally, ordinance 2020-23, an ordinance temporarily amending ordinance 2018-64 to provide for the alteration of established procedure in charging late and delinquent charges and terminating water service during the COVID-19 outbreak. Again, this was reviewed with you by the village administrator.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
Bauer?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Musk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Bauer?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Okay. I have covered everything on my list as far as having any other business. We will watch for any legislation that may change the format of how we do this. We'll keep you informed by email. We are 3 weeks till our next meeting. There are five Mondays in March. So, you know, we've got 3 weeks until our next meeting on April 13th. Hopefully, we'll be in a more relaxed standard by then, but I'm concerned that we may not be. So just pay attention for that. Anybody need to schedule any committee meetings?
Do we want to do finance?
I think we should.
6:30, normal time?
6:30 on the 13th?
Yes, please.
Anybody else have anything that's mission critical that we need to set committee meetings for? Okay, hearing none. Finance will meet prior to our next council meeting in here at 6:30 p.m. That's April 13th at 6:30 p.m. Bills have been around for approval?
Yes, sir.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Bauer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Musk?
Yes.
Okay, there's no further business. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Fortune?
Yes.
Ordenperger?
Yes.
Musk?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Bauer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
We're adjourned. Thank you all.
How about you?
Goodbye.
Watch it.